The scripture this morning is taken from the 10th chapter of Luke, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God. To the people of God, thanks be to God.
Well, I know it's hot outside, but we have air conditioning. And that is quite the blessing this morning. I praise God that each and every one of you made it this morning. And we are here to be in the presence of God. Let's set our hearts right there. I find it really ironic that our beginnings here together have focused on planting seeds, because I have a little secret to tell you. I kill plants, right? Plants in a vegetable garden, plants in the house, flowers, herbs on the windowsill. We have nothing but plastic plants in our house. So don't get me wrong, you know, I love plants. I love nature. I'm just not very good at tending to them, caring for them, right? So my life is so busy that I forget to water them, pull the weeds, talk to them, do whatever it is that you're supposed to do to make plants live. And it just shows you that loving something isn't enough. See, whatever you love requires heartfelt tending and care. In order to grow what it is that you do love, marriages, children, friendships, your church family, neighbors, your community, hobbies, work, plants. The presence of the heart makes a difference. The story of Martha and Mary sets up this exact controversy, this huge controversy, actually, in Christian discipleship. So how do we as disciples go about living our daily lives while at the same time being devout followers of Christ and growing the kingdom of God? And as with all things, the answer lies in the heart, in the presence of the heart. So this story specifically juxtaposes two women, right, that are interacting with Jesus. Martha is the person who receives Jesus with hospitality and welcomes him into her home. Jesus, of course, never travels alone. So you can just imagine, right, that he's not only coming with his disciples, but when the news gets out that Jesus is at Martha's house, I can assure you that all sorts of friends and family showed up too. So as hostess, Martha is obligated to fulfill preparations common to any hostess. You can just imagine what her life is in this moment as she runs around preparing food and drinks and attending to the needs of the guests, including such things as washing and, you know, preparing for beds and sleeping and sitting. And meanwhile, there sits her sister Mary, at the feet of Jesus, who's simply listening. And as Martha bears this role as hostess, her anxiety and frustration increases as her sister Mary appears to be in this place of grace and peace, just drinking in the words of Jesus, right? So she seeks out Jesus for support, saying that Mary has abandoned her and asking Jesus, "Tell her to then help me." And Jesus' response, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part." It tends to be read as a reprimand. Many hear it as if Martha has chosen wrong. Often it is interpreted that a life of quiet solitude and prayer, the devout reverence of Jesus that's portrayed by Mary in this setting, is the better way. But I disagree with this interpretation. Let's look at the larger context of the story. Just before Jesus arrives at the house of Martha and Mary, Jesus had sent out 70 of his disciples in pairs, right? Sent them out to eat in people's homes, to cure the sick, and to share the message, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." And when they returned, Jesus rejoiced with them, praising God and the Holy Spirit. And a lawyer stood up and asked how to inherit eternal life. And Jesus replied this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus went on to share the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which the Samaritan in his busy life experienced compassion for the wounded traveler, tended to him, and paid for his care at the end. Jesus ended with, "Go and do likewise." Go and do. Almost all of the chapter speaks to the call to action, to doing tasks. That's just before you meet Martha and Mary. Well, just after the story with Martha and Mary, do you know what we find Jesus doing? Jesus is praying. Right before, go and do. Right after, Jesus is praying. Jesus prayed. And when he finished, one of the disciples requested that Jesus teach them to pray. It's here that we actually find Jesus reciting the Lord's Prayer. And if you read the prayer really carefully, it's all about lifting up our everyday, daily concerns. Right? It's about daily living. Jesus continues his teaching with a parable about persistence, encouraging everyone with these words. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." Prayer takes us to a place of gratitude and humility. It's humbling to ask. And as we do this, we're surrendering to God. And prayer helps us center ourselves on God. So we find the story of Martha and Mary interposed between go and do likewise and pray. Pray humbly, pray persistently. This is not an accident, right? One of the key themes in the Gospel of Luke is all about discipleship. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? It is very evident from the surrounding text that Jesus emphasizes the importance of doing works of mercy and kindness and praying to God with a humble, persistent spirit. It is not either or, but both and. Let's look at the words Jesus speaks to Martha carefully. Jesus says, "There is need of only one thing." One thing. Jesus was directing Martha to find the way of peace in the midst of her busyness, not despite her busyness. So there's this story of a Russian peasant in the 19th century. It's called The Way of the Pilgrim. This may help us understand what it is that Jesus is trying to teach Martha in this moment. "On the 24th Sunday after Pentecost, I went to church to say my prayers there during the liturgy. The first epistle of St. Paul to the Thessalonians was being read, and among other words, I heard these, 'Pray without ceasing.' It was this text, more than any other, which forced itself upon my mind, and I began to think how it was possible to pray without ceasing, since a person has to concern himself with other things in order to make a living." So the peasant went from church to church to listen to sermons, but did not find the answer he desired. Finally, he met a holy man who said to him, "Ceaseless interior prayer is a continual yearning of the human spirit towards God." Picture that, a continual yearning of the spirit towards God. To succeed in this consoling exercise, we must pray more often to God to teach us to pray without ceasing. Pray more and pray more fervently. It is prayer itself which will reveal to you how it can be achieved unceasingly. But it will take some time. So then the holy man taught the peasant the Jesus prayer. "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me." While traveling as a pilgrim through Russia, the peasant repeated this prayer thousands of times with his lips. He even considers the Jesus prayer to be his true companionship. And then one day he has the feeling that the prayer by its own action passes from his lips to his heart. He says, "It seemed as though my heart in its ordinary beating began to say the words of the prayer with each beat. I gave up saying the prayer with my lips. I simply listened carefully to what my heart was saying." This is the presence of the heart, when it is centered on God, when it begins with God. Like the pilgrim, theologian Henry Nouwen describes this same principle. He says, "The prayer continues to pray within me even when I am talking with others or concentrating on manual work. The prayer has become the active presence of God's Spirit guiding me through life." That's what Mary was practicing in this moment as she sat at the feet of Jesus. Her focus was on learning and absorbing that love, right? So that she's fully present in that. Her heart was yearning for Jesus, and she was just soaking in all that love. And though Martha had all the worries about the guests, she could equally have that presence in her heart. In our lives, we should begin everything we do with the presence of the heart focused on God and all that God is. God is love. God is compassion, kindness, generosity, and joy. So imagine if we start all that. Imagine if Martha started there amidst all her work. This is the one thing Jesus is directing Martha to discover, so that despite her busyness, she too could be fully present and at peace with her life. See, Jesus was loving Martha in that moment. He was teaching her and caring for her. Friends, God is love. And as a child of God, you are loved. And we must stand wholly and completely in that presence of our loving God. And out of that, all things will flow. See, life isn't the distraction. Life is God. They are one and the same, and it's just all about connecting them in our hearts. One of the Desert Fathers, Abba Anthony, who left society actually, went out to seek solitude, comes back and says, "Whatever you find in your heart to do in following God, that do. And remain within yourself in God." This personal integrity before God, without any disguises or pretensions, is the essence of spirituality. All personal relationships, life in all its aspects, must be brought slowly into central relationship with God and Christ. The presence of our heart matters above all else. No matter what it is that we choose to do, whether we remain still in God or whether we go about our daily tasks, we must live into what is most important. We must choose God first. Because God is love. God is life. God is the source of all goodness. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus began with these words: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Then he says, "Go and do." In God, in love, we live out our lives. The presence of our heart allows us to tend and grow whatever is on our hearts, whatever is in our lives. If our hearts are centered on God, life and love will naturally weave its way into the lives of all creation. So go and do. Go and do with the presence of a heart that begins with God. Friends, God loves you. Set your hearts on this love. Amen.